Let us pray in silence to prepare hearts for the service. Amen. In Jesus' name, let us commence with our service. Let us sing hymn 185. Let us sing hymn 185.
Think and reflect, God prepares a land so blessed. Leave your sins and come, find strength in hope for heaven's rest. Why be sinless? Why be pure? Thus think and reflect. Hand is love holy, hand is lovely, blessings overflow. I will ever struggle to reach that home. Think and reflect, Jesus shares a land that's blessed. Hold your faith and seek His favor, hope for heaven's rest. Why be selfless? Why seek Jesus? Think and reflect. Hand is endless, hand is gracious, boundless and free. I will ever strive for my hope to see. Think and reflect on the Holy Spirit blessed. For His dear love, follow Him, then hope for heaven's rest. Why seek His way? Why must we pray? Think and reflect. Hand is splendor, hand is treasure, precious and rare. I will ever run to my promised there.
We thank our Lord Jesus Christ that again we are able to worship Him, again we are able to learn His words. And now we will pray, we ask the Lord Jesus to continue to lead us, to guide us, so that through His words we will be edified, we will be encouraged. Let's all together kneel down and pray. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Are you so?
Amen. In Jesus' name, let us study the words of our Lord. For mutual encouragement, we will continue to study on the topic, the renewal of the mind. So this is the second part of our study. For mutual encouragement, we will study on renewal of the mind. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 12. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Let us read verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So here, Paul wrote to encourage the believers that now in their life, of course, they must live for Christ, but here, how they are to be able to live for Christ. So there must be a transformation. So this transformation is by the renewal of your mind. Let's turn to Ephesians. excuse me, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. So twice in the Romans and in Ephesians, Paul says that today we must have the renewal of the mind. So Paul, he stressed on this. So in the first part of our study, we have run through three areas. So the first area we have run through, we say the condition of the mind, especially after the fall, after sin came into the world. So how the Bible described the mind. So we have run through six sub-points. So what is the condition of the mind? How the Bible describes the mind? So the first sub-point we say, it is a debased mind. A debased mind. Then second, we say it is a futile mind. Then thirdly, the fleshly mind. And the fourth sub-point, corrupt mind. And number five, defiled mind. And number six, a blinded mind. All right, so the Bible here describes to us the condition of the mind after sin came into the world. Then the second point, we have also studied the tendency or the inclination of the mind. So there are two sub-points. We say our mind, it is always set, it is always thinking on the things of the flesh. And we have mentioned, what is the flesh? The flesh tells us about the desires, the passions, and the lust that is in us. All right? And also, the second sub-point, we say that the mind set on the earthly things. So today, we will always think about the world, especially the things that is in the world. But of course, the world and the things in the world, it is what we are able to see, but it is only physical material. All right, so what is the outcome today if we set our minds on the things of the flesh and on the things of the world? Well, today, we know the outcome. We cannot live a life that is pleasing to God. And we will be hostile to God, and we will be those who will not walk in His ways, but in the end, of course, by doing so, it may lead us to death, to sin against the Lord. And of course, today we know that the world will pass away. So heaven and earth, it will not last. So it will pass away. So it is not worthwhile setting our minds toward all this. And of course, today we say that we must learn to lead a life of contentment. And the third point, we have said, because of the condition of the mind, because of the inclination, because of the tendency of the mind. So now there must be a change, the renewal of the mind. As we have mentioned, in the Greek, renewal means renovation, a complete change. So it is the adjustment of our thinking, which is designed to have a transforming effect. All right, so today we must renew our mind. There must be a change now in the way that we think or in the things that we think. And we have also mentioned the purpose of this renewal. It is to fulfill the will of God. Now, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. And we say that today why we need renewal. It is to make new, especially us, to be a new man, a new person with a new nature after the image of the Lord. All right, so all these are the three areas that we have studied in our first session. Now we will continue the second part on the renewal of the mind. We will study another 2 points. So now we come to point number 4. Excuse me, point number 4. So now, tell us about the source of help for renewal. The source of help for renewal. It is what? The Holy Spirit. Let us turn to Titus. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Verse 5. He saved us not because of the deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. Of course, here Paul tells us that we are saved because of the mercy of the Lord, and it is through the washing of regeneration. It is the water baptism. But the lower part, Paul says it is also by the renewal in the Holy Spirit. So when we say this renewal of the Holy Spirit, it is not the fresh bestowment of the Holy Spirit. It is not at that point when we receive the Holy Spirit. But when we say the renewal, it stresses on the continual operation or the working of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that is in us. All right, so today, many that have received the Holy Spirit, of course, they are praying in tongues. But are we able to see in their life there is the renewal? Well, we know some members, they commented, how come this believer, they have the Holy Spirit, but yet we will see no changes in them? Some even commented, worse still, they go from the bad to worse. They're able to see that the old man is clearly still there and they are not new. So they cannot see the new nature or the new man in them. All right? So this lies on the matter concerning the renewal of the Holy Spirit. That is to say, today, whether this Holy Spirit is working in us, whether this Holy Spirit has operation in us. As we know, the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that, as the Greek word tells us, one called along by our side to be our helper. So the question lies today on these contributing factors. So these contributing factors are important factors to decide whether today we are able to have the renewal by the Holy Spirit. All right, so we run through three sub-points concerning this Holy Spirit, the source for our renewal. So what are the contributing factors? The sub-point number one. So today, it depends, our renewal depends on the extent of our relationship, the extent of our fellowship, the extent of our communion with the Holy Spirit. Because as we know, the Holy Spirit is not it. All right? The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is what? It is the Spirit of Jesus. So Jesus is abiding in us, indwelling in us. All right, so the question now lies about the relationship, the communion, the fellowship, the closeness that we have with the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship or the participation of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So in this benediction of Paul, the third point, Paul says, and the fellowship or the communion or the participation of the Holy Spirit be with you all. All right, so today, this relationship with the Holy Spirit is very important. So today, whether we are able to have this renewal through the help of the Holy Spirit, so it depends on the relationship, the closeness with the Holy Spirit. And in relation to this sub-point, it relates, it is linked to the second sub-point. What is the second sub-point? So for renewal, it depends on the extent of our prayer. So it relates to the depth and the frequency of our prayer. If today we take prayer as a formality, if we take prayer just as a duty, what we must do, it is only to fulfill my duty after I pray, to comfort myself, thank the Lord I have prayed. But in that prayer, our heart is not there. In our prayer, it is just only to console, to comfort ourselves that I have fulfilled my duty to pray. But the time in prayer, maybe 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes. So in this type of a prayer, how are we to have the fellowship, the communion, the participation with the Holy Spirit? All right, so it depends today on the depth of our prayer, also on the timing, the time of our prayer, and the frequency of our prayer. So let us remember, prayer is not a formality, something that we just do every day, meaningless, a repetition, a fulfillment of duty. So prayers is not like that. And we know, the Bible also, Jesus tells us, prayer, it is not to heap up empty phrases or empty repetition, not sincerely from the heart, not truly from the heart, not from the soul. All right, so today, let us not just pray with the empty repetition, not sincerely, not from our heart. It is only empty phrases. But today, what must we do in relation to our prayer? As the Bible tells us, we must pray in the Spirit. Let's turn to Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the upper portion. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the upper portion. Verse 18. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So Paul here tells us, pray at all times in the Spirit. In this part, Paul tells us about spiritual warfare. So in one area, in relation to the spiritual warfare, not only that we must put on the whole armor of God, but today we must have good communication with our commander, with our head, with our leader, with our savior, with our helper. All right? So today, Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit. Let's also refer to Jude. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. So Jude and Paul tells us that today we must pray in the Holy Spirit, we must pray in the Spirit. So what is the outcome of this type of a prayer? What do we mean by pray in the Spirit? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. chapter 14, verse 4, the upper portion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, the upper portion. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So today in our prayer, of course, we speak in tongues. Tongues is the only evidence that one has received the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is in us, and of course, the Holy Spirit is also praying, interceding for us. So in the chapter 14, verse 4, the upper portion, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So when he says edify, means this type of prayer in the tongues, in the spirit, well, especially when we put our heart, our mind, our soul in this prayer, we cherish this relationship, this fellowship, this communion with the Holy Spirit, then this type of a prayer will build us up, especially in our character, all right? So it will build up us up, it will strengthen us. But of course, when we say we pray in the tongue, let's continue. Verse 14 and 15, the upper portion. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14 and verse 15, the upper portion. So now Paul says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So Paul says, what am I to do? So he says, I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the mind also. So today in our prayer, as we experience, those who have the Holy Spirit, at times they are because their heart is not in the prayer. So it may be just a duty, a formality. So because of this, when they pray at times also, because the heart is not there and the mind is not there, so it will wander away. So even though they may be speaking in the tongues, but their mind is not there. So that's why Paul now says, I will also pray in a tongue, but also he says, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what am I to do? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the mind. All right, so today our mind must also be in our prayer. So our mind should not wander away. Our mind really, sincerely in our prayer, then allow the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. All right, so today here tell us whether we are able to be renewed. It relates also to the extent of our prayer. It must be prayer in the Holy Spirit. Means today, continue to pray in the Holy Spirit, in the tongues, but our mind, our heart, our soul must be in the prayer. Then in the prayer, we have deep communion, deep fellowship, deep participation with the Holy Spirit to the extent after prayer, we feel edified, we feel strengthened, we feel that this prayer has helped me. It will build my character. And the third sub-point, whether we are able to be renewed, it depends on the extent of our submissiveness to the working of the Holy Spirit. Again, we say, it depends on the extent of our submissiveness to the working of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17, and we jump to verse 25. In this part, we know it tells us about a struggle that is in us between the spirit and the flesh. In the verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. All right, so here tells about the spiritual struggle. The Holy Spirit and the flesh. All right, so today, how the Holy Spirit works in us? The Holy Spirit will work firstly through our conscience. All right, so the Holy Spirit will light up the lamp that is in us, the spirit of man. So this part of the spirit of man, one part is the conscience. So to the so-called, we always say, the small voice that is in us, we always say in our heart, but actually it is the part of the spirit of man. So this conscience, the Holy Spirit will light up this conscience, telling us, don't do this, you must do this. This is wrong, this is correct, or this is right. All right, so today how? We must submit to this working guidance of the Holy Spirit to our conscience. So today, let us not so-called harden our hearts, but we must give heed to the guidance of the Holy Spirit working through or in our conscience. Then, of course, the Holy Spirit also works through the words of God that is in us. So the Holy Spirit will bring us into remembrance, the teaching. So the Holy Spirit will also to the conscience, to what is in us, the words of the Lord. Now tell us, the teaching here, you must do this. This is the teaching of the Bible. All right, so this is the working of the Holy Spirit that is in us through our conscience, through His Word. But the problem is, as we say, it depends on the extent of our submissiveness to the working, to the guidance, to the signal given to us by the Holy Spirit. All right, so Paul says in the chapter 5, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit. In the verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. All right, so if today we say we have the Holy Spirit, we lead a life in the Spirit. But if today we do not walk, we do not take heed, we do not submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then this Holy Spirit has no help on us because we are rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit. That was why Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. All right? So let us not resist the Holy Spirit. Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. But let us be submissive to the working, to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So today, this point 4 tells us the source of help for our renewal. It is the Holy Spirit. Paul says, through the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit, it must be the one that is our helper, working, operating in us. So today we must cherish this relationship with the Holy Spirit. We must have deep communion fellowship, then always pray in the Spirit and to submit to the Holy Spirit. Then with this, thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit will be our helper so that we're able to have a renewal. Okay, now we come to point number 5. Point number 5. So point number 5 now tells us about the renewal of the mind. So what type of a mind, in which area we must put on this type of a mind. So we run through 4 sub-points. We quickly run through 4 sub-points. The first sub-point, the renewal of the mind. What type of a mind? So today we must have this mind, the mind that is on the things of the Spirit, or as the King James Version says, to be spiritually minded. Let us refer to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, the lower portion, and verse 6, the lower portion. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, the lower portion. verse 5, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, the lower portion. But to set the mind on the Spirit or to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right, so here tells us, today we must have this mind set on the things of the Spirit. So when we say, set minds on the things of the Holy Spirit, what do we mean? The first sub-point. Sanctification by the Spirit. All right? Sanctification by the Spirit. So when we say we set our mind on the things of the Holy Spirit, means in what area the Holy Spirit can be a help so that we can have the renewal. So it is the sanctification by the Spirit. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. All right, so today we are saved, able to be saved through sanctification by the Holy Spirit. Let's also refer to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 to 3 and 7 and 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, 7 and 8, verse 1. Finally, brethren, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you learned from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, do so more and more. For you know what instructions we give you through our Lord Jesus. So Paul encouraged them that they must continue to lead a life pleasing to him, and that they must do so more and more, and that they have given them instruction. So what instruction? Verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from unchastity. All right? So the Lord wants us to be sanctified, to be holy, to be pure. And in the verse 7 and the verse 8, for God has not called us for uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So why the Lord give us the Holy Spirit? So that the Holy Spirit can help us to be sanctified. All right? So today we must set our mind on this, the things of the Spirit, to be sanctified. Then the second sub-point, to be strengthened by power through the Spirit in the inner man. Of course, this inner man refers to our soul, the true I. Let us read Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Let us read verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Verse 19, this is the prayer of Paul for the believers in Ephesus, that they will know about what? Verse 19. And to know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might. Of course, today we know this power also relates to many matters. But here tell us about to know the greatness of his power that is in us. Then in the chapter 3, this is also the prayer of Paul for the believers there. In the chapter 3, let us read verse 16 and verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 20. Verse 16. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might or power through his spirit in the inner man. Verse 20. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. All right, so here tells about the power through the Holy Spirit. So today we must think about which relates to the things of the Spirit, to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Then the third sub-point, the Spirit of truth to guide us to the truth. Let's turn to John. Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. John, chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak in his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. 14. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare to you. All right, so here tells us the Spirit of truth comes, will lead us into all the truth. Let's also read chapter 14, verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, in whom or whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you into remembrance all that I have said to you. All right, so again, here tells us the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, bring us into remembrance all that he has said. And the fourth sub-point, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. So in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if we read from verses 4 down to 11, it tells us about the gift of the Spirit. In the verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. So from the verses 8 down to the verse 10, 8 to 10 tell us the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. So these gifts will be given, but it is by the same one Spirit. And the verse 5, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. So why this gift of the Spirit is given by the Holy Spirit? So that we are able to serve the Lord in the different areas of the service. But the thing is that even though it is different areas of service, we are serving the same Lord. And verse 6, and there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in everyone. So verse 11 says, all these are inspired by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. All right, so today we must have this renewal of the mind. What type of a mind? Mind set on the things of the Spirit. That is to say, today we must think to be sanctified by the Spirit, to be strengthened by the power of the Spirit, to know the truth by the Spirit of truth, and today to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to have these gifts so that we're able to use it in our service to build up the church, the body of Christ, and to edify our brothers and sisters. Okay, that's point number 2. Concerning the renewal of the mind, what type of a mind? Today we have the mind must set on the laws, the commandments, and the words of God. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Romans 7, 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I of myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So we know today, after sin came into the world, The sinful nature, even though we are baptized, the sinful nature is still in us. That's why Paul in the lower portion says, with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Because the sinful nature is always there. But how are we to overcome, to be victorious over the sinful nature? So Paul says, I of myself serve the law of God with my mind. All right? So today, the law of the Lord must be in our mind, must be in our heart. So if today we look at the new covenant. So in the new covenant, there are four points, four contents of the new covenant. And the first content is what? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, let us read verse 8 and verse 10, the upper portion. Verse 8. For he finds fault with them when he says, the days will come, says the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 10, the upper portion. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them on their hearts. All right? So here says, the Lord will put his laws into our minds, write them in our hearts. So today, our mind must be always towards the laws, the commandments, the words of the Lord must be in us. Then thirdly, what type of the renewal of the mind? The mind, now we must think what? The mind thinks on the things that are above. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on the things above, not the things that are on earth. All right, so we must set our minds on the things that are above where Christ is. We know Jesus is in heaven. And here says we have been raised with Christ. So in baptism, we die with him. So when we come up from the water, we are raised with him. So we have a new life. And after we are baptized, our name is recorded in heaven, in the book of life. So our citizenship is in heaven. All right, so today, we must seek the things that are above. So in the Second Peter, we know Peter tells about matters concerning the end of the world. So today, what are we waiting for? Let us read Second Peter chapter 3, verse 12, verse 13, and verse 18. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 12, 13, and 18. So verse 12 tells us, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because in which the heavens will be kindled and dissolved, and the elements will be melt with fire. So today we are waiting for the second coming of Jesus. Verse 13, what are we waiting for? But according to his promise, we wait for the new heaven and the new earth in which righteousness dwell. All right, so we are waiting for the heavenly kingdom. And in the verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So we are waiting for the day of eternity. So today we must set our minds on the things above in the heavenly kingdom, where it is the new heaven and the new earth. So all this is eternal. We will enjoy eternal life, eternal joy in the heavenly kingdom. And the last one, today we must set our mind on what? We must have the mind of Christ. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's also read 7 and 8. Verse 7. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. All right, so here tells Jesus, he humbled himself, lowered himself in humility. So he has the lowliness of the mind. So he had this self-emptying spirit to serve. All right, so the main point here we say today, we must serve the Lord. And lastly, because of the time, let's turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 tells us Jesus is the servant. He is symbolized with the ox. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, this is the theme of Mark. Verse 45, for the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. All right, so Jesus came to serve. We must have this mind of Christ. We must serve one another. Even Jesus came to the point to sacrifice himself. He had this self-emptying spirit to serve, to sacrifice himself. So today, the same, we must serve one another willingly. We must try our best to help one another. All right, so today, we must have this type of a mind that is set on the things of the Spirit, mind on the laws, the commandments, the words of God, mind that is set on the things above, and mind of Christ. So we pray that the Lord Jesus will continue to help us, to guide us so that we will have the renewal of the mind. Let's sing hymn 248. 248. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our might. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who had borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled, be fried from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Let's together kneel down and pray.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Are you so We thank the grace of the Lord. Our service will end here. May the Lord bless us. Amen.